The purpose of a hospice is to take care of people who have a terminal illness that, if it takes its normal course, might be expected to take the person's life within 6 months. And 6 months is a key number. So many people come to hospice in the very last days, but really it's a much longer benefit. A hospice provides very robust medical care, medications, medical equipment, 24/7 support. All those things are included in the hospice benefit, and it's covered and paid for by Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance plans.
How does this differ from a hospital? It sounds like a much more tranquil environment.
It's very different than a hospital, and it's interesting that 90% of people say they'd rather not die in a hospital, yet over 50% do. Hospice care is really focused on holistic care for the patient and family and creating a comfortable, peaceful, transitional time and helping them find whatever it is that's going to bring the most meaning for them during a very challenging time.
And it's important to think about these things in advance. Why is it so important to think about end-of-life issues before you think you're going to need to make any decisions?
It's really important to think about them because so often when someone is in the throes of a medical emergency, it's very difficult for the families to really know exactly what a person's wishes are. And even individual people oftentimes haven't sat down to think about what is really important for them. Is it really important for them to have every single last thing done, or is it more important for them to be at home surrounded by friends and family? There are so many decisions to be made, and there was one study that showed that the person's healthcare proxy or dedicated decision maker is likely to guess wrong on what the patient wants at least 60% of the time. So it's really important to decide for oneself what is important and then to communicate that to loved ones and to people who might be asked to make decisions.
And sometimes those people are not able to express themselves once it gets too late.
That's exactly right. Oftentimes the loved one is not conscious or maybe is not cognitive or is thinking as clearly as they might like to be. So it's really critical to take charge and be empowered. We all plan our weddings, we all plan our vacations, and more of us need to think about planning for the end of our lives. We all know the mortality rate is 100%, even though we don't like to think about it.
And it's a difficult topic to bring up. Is there a good way to start a dialogue between parents and children, for example?
There are several really good ways, and we have a lot of suggestions that are actual conversation starters on our website. But between a parent and child, one suggestion is something like, you know, Mom or Dad, you did such a great job taking care of me when I was growing up. I want to be sure that I take care of you in the way you would like to be taken care of if you become ill or incapacitated.
Even though these are difficult conversations to have, they bring comfort to both the patient and the family. Is that accurate?
It is accurate, and sometimes people need to push just a little bit harder. The parent might not be immediately open to it. They might say, gosh, you know, I'm going to be fine. And then you can still come back with, yes, I know you are, but I really want to understand what's important to you.
You can find out how to get more information about end-of-life conversations and Hospice of Cincinnati on our website at wnku.org under Regional News. Sandra Lobert, thank you for your advice this morning.
Thank you.